And joining us today, congressional candidate Jack Ballard. Hello, Jack.
Hi.
Good to have you with us today. You know, while all the other congressional candidates are saying, I'm not sure which congressional district I'm going to be running in. It all depends on where it all lays out. You've been pretty clear which congressional district you're going to run in.
That's right. I'm running in the Eastern existing congressional district. I live in Red Law. Important to me to run in the district that I represent and live there.
That means that you will be running more than likely against Matt Rosendale.
Yep, that's right.
Why did you make that decision?
Well, I feel like the Montana that I grew up in as a ranch kid west of Three Forks and the ability of everyday Montanans to make a living, raise a family here is getting increasingly difficult for people. And those are the folks that I'd like to represent in Congress.
All right. So talk with us about your background.
Well, I grew up on a ranch west of Three Forks. We call them farm kids that went to the Three Forks High School. From the time I could remember, I was feeding chickens and milking cows and putting up hay, driving tractor, that sort of thing. And then went on to do some teaching at MSU Billings and started in outdoor writing and photography. Make most of my living there, but also, worked two and three jobs pretty much my entire life. Quite a bit of that in construction trade.
It seems to be kind of a Montana story. We have to diversify and do several different things.
Yeah, that's the way it's been for me, and seems like that's the case for more and more people. Everything, housing is much more expensive now, and people just seem to have to hustle and work harder to make ends meet here.
Why do you think that is, Jack?
Well, I think it's a function of our federal minimum wage is at $7.25 an hour. State minimum wage is better, but the, wage growth for workers in the service and other industries just hasn't kept up with national trends. And we definitely see with large corporations, the profit in terms of wages is going to management. It's not going to people that actually do the work to keep these companies functioning. And the same is really true in rural Montana in farming and ranching. In the 1970s, about 35 cents on the dollar of food prices went back to a farmer. Now it's 15. And so both in agriculture and in other working parts of Montana, people are just getting squeezed. And it requires people to work more jobs, more hours just to pay for necessities.
So what do you think you can do about it in Congress?
Well, I think raising the federal minimum wage would be a good place to start. Also, in relation to agribusiness, four companies control 80% of the beef packing in the country. We have antitrust laws. We just need some people in Congress that have the backbone to enforce those so that producers are actually, getting a fair share in agriculture of what they actually produce, and that workers are actually getting a fair share of company profits.
How do we get the people in eastern United States to rally around your cause?
Well, I think people in the East Coast and the West Coast, in the urban areas, I think people realize the value of having functional agriculture that is supported at the base level by families who actually work the land, who love their land and know how to take care of it. And they see a value in that. Today, too much of agriculture is really industrial in nature. And I really think you can get people in urban areas excited about consuming food that you know, that comes from family producers that know how to take care of their land.
You know, I was amazed living in New York City. I would go down to the farmers markets in New York, and I would see people bringing their goods from their own farms upstate, and they would, you know, bring them down overnight. This was fresh food in New York City, and there they would be, and these huge farmers markets. And I guess I was surprised that there was that kind of that kind of produce was available in a place like New York City.
Well, there's a lot of I have some connections to upstate New York through my in-laws, and there's a lot of real similar small farms there that you have in Montana. You know, when I was a kid, we sold apples directly to the grocery store. We sold eggs to a couple of restaurants. There was, you know, there was a true local, I guess you would say, food sourcing available, and that has, you know, pretty well gone away. And I think people do want to see us move back toward that. It's healthier food. It tastes better, costs less to transport, supports local people. It's just a much better model for agriculture than what we have now.
Well, one of the things that we learn here is that the majority of our grain is shipped overseas because that's where the market is.
Yeah, and that's export markets. You know, for grain producers, will continue to be important, as they are for other types of, agricultural produce in the United States. But again, part of that is a function of the viability of local and regional sourcing. You know, when I was in high school, we had probably 300 hogs on the ranch that we sold barley, that we fed barley that we produced. And you can't come close to raising hogs profitably in Montana now because there's not local slaughtering and retail sales available. So there's a lot of threads in agriculture that I think need to be pulled in order to provide better living for family farms and provide a better product for consumers.
Okay, Jack, I'm going to get right down to it here, bud. Why did you choose to run against Matt Rosendale?
Well, I don't think Matt has done anything for the state of Montana. I mean, let's cut to the chase. The number three Republican in the Senate has called his actions in Congress kooky. You know, that's somebody in his own party. I just challenge anyone to find a piece of legislation that's been really positive for Montana that has Matt Rosendale's fingers on it. I just don't see any. And he's aligned himself with that very far-right group of Republicans that have obstructed and vilified and then done nothing to sit down with people on the opposite side of the aisle and really do the work of governing the country. There's Republicans that I would be happy to work with in Congress, and it's those bipartisan efforts when people sit down and hash out compromises and do the work of the country that move us forward. That's the kind of congressman I want to be.
Well, we hear about those occasionally, but for the most part, all we hear is it's us against them. Can you work through that?
I think so. You know, I have a lot of friends who are Republicans. I have Republicans who have donated to my campaign. it's a matter of finding common ground on issues instead of, you know, making politics an all or nothing kind of equation. You know, when you make things all or nothing, you darn well better be prepared to come back with nothing. And that's kind of what I see happening. So, I mean, it's encouraging. There's been some bipartisan things that have happened in the Senate this term, some in Congress, and that's the move that I think we need in the country going forward, is more of that and less polarization.
One of the things that that I think a small state like Montana needs is we need to have continuum, in particularly in the House of Representatives. I'll give you an example. Pat Williams was there for decades, and he was able to get to some strong committee chairmanships. Another example was Denny Rehberg. Denny Rehberg was there for well over a decade, and in that time he was able to get to a couple of very strong committee chairmanships. And as a result, he was able to make some good things come toward Montana, including here in northwest Montana, in Kalispell, the bypass. We would not have the bypass today if it weren't for Denny Rehberg's work on the Banking Committee and on the Ways and Means Committee. Yet, ever since Denny Rehberg retired, it has been musical chairs in the House of Representatives for Montana. My question to you is, how long do you plan on staying there if you get elected?
Well, I would stay there as long as the people of Montana want me to serve. And I think those two people that you mentioned, you know, Williams and Rehberg, part of what made them effective was their ability to work in committees, you know, collaboratively with people of the other party, to make things happen. And that's really what we need, is someone with a strong bipartisan attitude, which I have, that can actually, you know, accomplish things in addition to creating some longevity in the House. And your point's very well taken.
Jack, I look forward to more conversations as this campaign continues. I want to get one more thing with you, and that is redistricting. What do you see happening?
Wow, that's a can of worms. You know, I've heard theories all over the map. If we, you know, the question is, are we going to do something that kind of resembles what we had prior to 1990? Will the commission throw that line out completely, start from scratch? That's something I don't control, and we're campaigning on the things that we control. I just hope that the commission is fair and that they do their redistricting in such a way that the people of Montana will look at it and say, yes, this was fair, they did their job, and we're ready to move forward and happy to have two House seats going forward instead of one.
Jack Ballard, be safe out there, and thanks for the conversation this morning.